Greetings, heroes. My name is Medivus, and today we're going to talk about death. No worries, we're not going to go too dark or too evil. Just, you know, thinking about a few things as life goes. And I was thinking about how Harry Potter, like the book series, has a lot of flaws and stuff, but I think they got death pretty much right. So for those of you who don't know, in the universe of Harry Potter, there is a fairy tale or legend of three brothers who cheated death by using magic. And he was upset, so he acted like he congratulated them and gave them gifts. So the first brother wanted a powerful wand, which is, you know, the default weapon for wizards in that world. And the second one wanted a stone to bring, well, wanted to, the ability to bring back the dead, so he got a stone from death. And the third one just wanted the ability to leave that place without being followed by death, so he got a cloak of invisibility that would last forever. That's, you know, the legend in that world. And as it goes, since death tried to trick those three brothers, the first one died in battle. Because all he sought for, all he ever wanted, was power. The second one, he could never bring back the dead, but only an image of theirs, which sort of had him waste away, because he got lost in the past, more or less. And the third one, he just lived his life, and once his time came, and he was done, so to speak, with this world, he would take off the cloak and just meet death as an old friend. And I think that's how many people go through life in regards to death. Like, looking at one of those archetypes. There are those who try to fight death, and if you look at the real world, most of them will find very awkward ends, because avoiding something with that much force will eat you up, right? Then there are those who just live in the past. They can't let go of lost loved ones, be it relatives or someone they dated or married or anything of that like that. And those people never really live again. And then there are those who just accept death as a companion, and they usually will have longer and, I don't want to say better lives, but more natural lives, almost, I would say. So you can't be blind to death. You can try, but I think that's probably an even worse option than any of the other three, because it's always there. And that's what got me thinking. Some of you probably know, I lost my grandma a few months away, a month ago, and it was very difficult, right? Because I had lived with her all my life. She took care of me when I was little. Then, when my mother passed, my grandma had a stroke, and since then I've been taking care of her for the last couple of years. So death is always there, right? And most people first actually encounter it with their grandparents, a lot of times anyways, when they're children. At least one of the grandparents usually dies on something. Or maybe it's an uncle or aunt or great uncle, great aunt, something like that. Or sometimes you're unlucky and it's a friend and, or, I don't know, relative right away. Accidents do happen, we all know that. So it's always there, you can't really ignore it. Most people are not innocent to death because we have all encountered it in some way or form. Of course, it's a difference of you being there or just hearing about it over you know how many people. But it gets in us early. Some people, they don't really realize it, but they are subconsciously directed by it after that. Other people, they focus too much on it. And there are many people, especially rich people, who try to fight it with all their power. They spend millions of dollars and decades of research, and they try really hard to squeeze out a few extra years, when in the end, we're not there yet. We might be in some future generation, but we're probably not here yet. I think originally the projection was that my generation would be the first one to live through an age extension in their higher age. But I doubt that with the way the world is going right now. And then there are those who try to get back their loved ones, or keep them around, rather, in our world. You hold on to their clothing, you try to recreate the things you did together, get a specific smell, like perfume or anything, to remember them all the time. And there are parts of this that are okay, like wearing a piece of jewelry or just having it nearby that reminds you of someone, right? But it goes to a point in some people that will absorb your future life. It will just eat it away, because everything you do is tainted by the thought of actually something was taken and I can't get over that part. Which is horrible. I think that's one of the greatest disservices we can do to especially loved ones we have lost. Because in the end, if they were decent people, and I'll assume that most people are at least decent, if not even good, then they would want you to not be stuck in a limbo, right? Because no matter how far back you look, that's always the worst fate. It's not even hell or anything like that. It's usually being stuck between worlds, being stuck in a place, being stuck in a state even. That's why for a long time people looked down on those who were doing nothing with their lives, because that's akin to being already dead. You're stuck in that limbo. You will never change because you don't want to, and you fight any change that might happen, and then you're stuck there forever. It's a very bad fate to have. Not one we cannot overcome. Some people need therapy, some people just need that eureka moment, some people just need to try something. But it's very easy to slide into that place, especially, as I noticed, with a close relative or someone you cared for or something like that. I think parents, you often see that children they lost will take away the relationship the parents had and eat their jobs. A lot of parents become very lost when they lose their children, which is understandable, of course. But in the end, we have to find a way to get to that point where death is a companion, because it is always there. And this is always watching. And we don't have a cloak of invisibility. The best we can do is not to tempt it. Or not tempt it too often, I guess. And yeah, get to that point of saying, yeah, he walks beside me. He will eventually get me. He will probably get everyone I know at some point. In whatever order and for whatever reasons. But that's a truth that has been part of the, I don't want to say human experience, because animals go through the same thing. You know, you see videos of like cats who always had the same cat with them, they're like brother or whatever, and then one of them dies and the other one is just like a human, lost because there's a piece missing, which is understandable. But I'm not sure if it's the Chinese or the Japanese, and I forgot the name for it, but it's sort of the art of repairing destroyed, like, cups and stuff like that, with gold. So they mend broken pieces of porcelain by, well, gluing them together, but by putting gold into the fissures and tears, and that's a way of restoring something, not to its original state, because that is impossible, but to a state where it's not a subtraction from the whole. The function was regained, the beauty was improved, And while what happened is not erased, it's still not a hindrance anymore. And that's where we have to go. It's not easy. As I said, as someone who just is in that situation still, it's not easy. Especially if you were really close and you built your lives around each other, or they were just a big part of yours, then it's not something where you snap your fingers, you're okay. And especially some things I think you never do forget. It's more a matter of letting them join the background melody of your life instead of being the main playing tune. And in all the like stages of grief, I don't have them in my head. And the last one is acceptance, which is where you want to get. And these stages sort of describe how people naturally progress to that point. And some people get stuck here and there. It's just that I think you have to actively work for that. Sure, there is a natural progression to those things, because as I said, it's been part of life as long as life existed, and it will probably be part of life for at least many, many centuries. And we sort of have to actively decide to work through it. You have to actively maybe set days or dates where you're like, this day I'm gonna be this much better, or I'm gonna be happier, or I will not think about it as much, or something like that. Doesn't mean you have to force to get there. So what I mean is, you can't just say, in 2 weeks I'm not gonna be sad anymore, and then just not be sad anymore. That's wrong. That doesn't work, because, well, humans are not robots. You can't just flip a switch in most people. And that way, that won't work, right? You can't force it. But you can't also just ignore it and say, oh, it's gonna be fine. Because in most cases, it won't. You have to actively push yourself in the direction, and that can be deciding on certain actions. Like, I'm going to decide to meet more people, or I'm going to decide to work on other projects, or I'm going to, I don't know, start working out more and maybe cook a little bit better stuff so I can lose some weight, you know? It's those little small tasks that bring back first normalcy, but then let you grow on that. Wait, let me check something here real quick. Here, there's a quote from Gandalf in The Hobbit. I think it's a Peter Jackson line, not a Tolkien line. Or maybe it was from his, is that his wife? I don't know. The second writer on the movies. Anyway, there's... Gandalf says it, and he says, some believe it's only great power that can hold evil in check. But that is not what I have found. I have found that it is the small everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay. Small acts of kindness and love. And I think it's very much akin to that. That it's not the great actions or the great decisions that will lead you to death being a companion instead of an enemy or something to reverse. It's going to be smaller acts, being kind to others, being kind to yourself, which people in our time especially have completely forgotten. We tend to be too harsh on ourselves, or alternatively, we tend to be way too nice to ourselves, nice and kind, not the same. Because the nice person says, just lay down, you deserve a break. The kind person says, you had breaks for like 3 months, get your ass in gear and do something, right? You should do that for friends too. But for yourself, and that's, I think, the proper direction to take to conquer this if not the greatest, one of the greatest hindrances and problems in our life, right? I want to say problems is the golem comes through. But no, but there's this, you know, death is just there. And we can fight it, we can try to hide from it, we can try to control it, but you never really do. Just like day and night and all the other big things in this universe, or all the universes, if you believe in that, they're not there to be controlled by humans, much like the time we have, which we can just use, we cannot decide which one we get. And the right way, the right approach is to learn about it, to accept that it's there, to accept that it's just a thing. Just like the sky and the earth, death is a thing that exists in our world, in our lives. And without that knowledge or acceptance of it being there, we tend to be blind to it, which will then just hurt that much more if it hits you and will make you fearful of doing things in the now and moving towards other things. And once you accept it, I think it can give meaning to a lot of things, because nothing that is eternal or without cost, nothing that's just easy and cheap, ever truly has meaning. It can have meaning that we give it to a point, but that's, I would say, empty quotation mark meaning, you know? It's what people do just to keep going in certain situations. But the truly great stuff, truly great stuff that humans have done, or humanity in general has achieved, also were achieved through death, through inspiration that has been drawn from people that have been lost, or from their ideas that were never completed, from your own limited lifetime, from knowing it is there. You only have so many years, so I'm going to use those years to be kind to others. I'm going to use those years to create something great and move something in this world. Hopefully for the better. There are people who have done things in the name of those great things for evil. They have killed many people. They have destroyed many lives. But that too is a form of meaning. It's not one I would say you should follow or aspire to use. But it's still better than the meaningless chasm that comes from ignoring death or from fearing it so much that you are stagnant, that you are unwilling to move. And sadly, I gotta say, in our time, I feel most people are in that place. Our world has become a little bit too nice. In words that we speak to each other, in the actions we allow each other, in the fears and worries we have. There are some places on the world where that's still not the case. And those people, generally speaking, have a different relationship to death. In some places, you know, it's a little bit too cozy for my liking. Like, I know some areas in Africa, I think they dig out the corpses to dance with them. Not that great of a idea, especially if they were sick before they died, you know. But there were times, I don't want to call them great times, because generally speaking, the world improves every couple of years. So the average poor person has way more than kings in the past, just the way it is. So I wouldn't say there were great times. But certain parts of those times were greater than they are now. Be it the hopeful view to the future, or the sense of the explorer who wanted to see what other lands there were on this earth, or simply the willingness to sit down with your own ideas and see where they will lead you, what you can create from that. And lots of that has been lost. Because the baseline we all have now, I think, is far away from death. It's hidden and shielded from us most of the time. So we don't think about it. We don't contemplate it enough. The worries of life that used to drive us at least to a point, like food and children and other likes, have been removed in different ways. Like, people are brainwashed into not wanting children, which is a bad idea, but I guess we're going to have a podcast about that another time. They, even the poorest of us, even those who are lost in many places, not all places, of course, but especially in the West, let's say, even those can get help without doing anything themselves, right? And I know all too well how easy it is to stay in that place. Because if you do it right, which is of course doing it wrong, but hey, you do it right, you can shut off your ears to all that is in the world, death and dangers and worries and all included, and just live in the moment, which can be great for some parts of your life. But if that's all you do, then you're worse than lost. Because you're in a place you know all too well that you will never leave unless forced. And that's not a way to live. That's a way to not die. That's a way to stay alive. But that's not a way to live. So I hope you think about that a little bit. I hope my thoughts maybe shined a little bit of light on this topic. And if you enjoyed it, you know, as always, please share it with your friends and family and all those nice people. And I hope to have you listening again. Soon, hopefully. And you know, until then, as always, keep on adventuring. Bye-bye.